I would like you to just bow your head. Say, Father,
Father,
we need your blessing.
We need your blessing.
We need ears to hear.
We need ears to hear.
Eyes to see.
Eyes to see.
And a heart to perceive.
And a heart to perceive.
What your Holy Spirit,
is
speaking to me.
Amen.
The word that came back into my heart this morning was the word omnipresence. And sometimes we kind of break God up into pieces. But we find that, you know, he's present in church, or he's present when I'm reading my Bible. But when we're driving the car, he kind of gets into the trunk. Because he can't stand our emotional turmoil. People misbehave, so we kind of think, where is he? What has he done? Why am I feeling the way I am? And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I would like you to go to Psalm 139. And I think if we look at it from verse 7, we'll start to understand a little bit of where he is and where and how he is omnipresent. He's always with us. Now, you can read Psalm 139 on your own, but I want to start at verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Even if he's in the trunk of the car, I've got news for you. He's inside your heart. If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me. The light becomes what? Night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. For darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. You know that full well, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You say, well, he's everywhere. Why is life so difficult sometimes? Well, he's everywhere trying to allow you to go a little higher in your understanding of who he is. So I'm going to take you to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. That's the book of Acts, verse 17. Chapter 17. We're going to look at St. Paul in verse 22. Paul is actually in Greece. How many know the Greeks are having problems now? I wouldn't want to be in Greece because the financial situation out there is pretty dramatic. And I'm not trying to advertise fear. I am, however, saying, if you don't hear from the Lord, you better start developing your ears. Because there were times when he's going to allow you to maybe put a little bit of nest egg in your safety box at home. Because what's happening there could happen down here. Our debt is so huge that if somebody put a demand on it, we'd be in their shoes and tasting the same as they are tasting. And I can tell you that there has been some predictions that the rest of Europe could go be down the same road. And if Europe falls, I've got news for you. We wouldn't probably be very far behind. So if your security is in your bank, I'd say put a backup plan. Ask the Holy Spirit what to do. And don't panic. Be prepared. And you say, well, why are you saying this? Well, I'm not trying to create fear, but I can tell you this. If you look back in the book of Acts, they sold their property and they gave the money to the church of that day. Why? And I know we're veering off the message right now, but God is omnipresent. He doesn't stop his activity just because there's a bank problem. Amen? Why were the disciples told to sell their property back after Jesus resurrected? What was the issue?
It was for everybody. The money was for
everyone. The money was for everyone, yes. But there was also something else that was about to be happening in Jerusalem. Everyone was taken care of, correct. So there was a purpose in that respect. But I also see something else in mind. Tell me what kind of property value you would have in the city of Jerusalem in 71 AD. No, because the whole city was burnt down. Did they sell it ahead of time? Yes. Was God telling them, get out? Because judgment is coming to the city. See, you got to put two and two together and make four, not three and a half. Okay? There's something happening in the financial area. And it's you and me that needs to be focused on what God wants us to do. So if you're not listening to him, what's going to happen? You might do like Ananias and Sapphira and hold back some money and lie to the Holy Ghost. And they both found an early grave. I'm not saying we're there yet, but I am saying that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's in Greece right now, and he's helping them. And those that are believers, if they set aside a nest egg and had it maybe in the mattress, it's safer than in the what? Why? They're only getting 60 euros. And that's all they're allowed to take out, even if it's their money. Uh-huh. Verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made even every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. Watch this section of the verse. And he determined the time set for them, and the exact place where they should live. Oops. Again. He determined the times set for them and the exact place where they should live. Verse 27 should have a circle around it. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us, or each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offsprings, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, which means change your mind. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. But I want to concentrate on the fact that God made himself known, and those who seek him will find him. And you say, what has that got to do with the reality that he's with us all the time? Even when we push him back, or out of a moment of frustration, we kind of get angry. Anybody? We are definitely aware that our emotions can get the best of us. Those of you who think you haven't got any, wait till a crisis hits. When a crisis hits, you find that you have emotions. Amen?
Amen?
And when you're in the midst of the crisis, if you haven't tuned your ear to him, well, obviously you're going to be going on your own. And while you're going on your own, I'll be really truthful with you. You're probably going to create a new mess. While you're choosing to trust that he's everywhere, including present within us, when that reality becomes, let's say, aware in our hearts that he's there all the time, he's with you even if you don't feel him, he's with you when you're having a hard day, he's with you when you're in the midst of a jail situation. Not all jails have doors. Okay? Not all jails have doors. There are some jails that are worse than what, if they had doors, we'd have an excuse, you know. There are jails that we put ourselves into. And the reality that he's there with us, with the door open or closed, is something that we need to be aware of. I've learned over the years that in the midst of my trial, sometimes my emotions would take over. And while I was on that plateau of doing my own thing, I couldn't feel his presence. So I had to kind of go on co-pilot. God, I would declare, I know you're with me. I don't understand what I'm going through right now. I'm telling you right now, I'm not in my right mind. I'm having a hard day.
Amen.
If you are having those hard days, but then you go back and you say before you go to sleep at night, Lord, give me a new revelation of who you are and how you're with me in this. Give me an understanding that you're with me everywhere I go. Even when I'm having that emotional turmoil that I don't see what I'd like to see, I don't see the changes in me that I'd like.
Amen. Amen.
Give me the grace to carry on in spite of the pain.
Amen.
Give me the grace to carry on even when I'm being accused falsely. How many can relate to what I'm saying right now? But see, asking him to make himself present in the moment is sometimes utterly dramatic and needed for us to have the courage to keep on going. And there's nothing wrong with you crying out of desperation, God, where are you? I can't feel you right now. I need you.
Amen.
okay? Don't be afraid to cry out. Because you know what? He's probably just waiting to see if you will do that. Okay? It says, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. In him. In Christ. In the anointing that you and I live in. We live, we move, and we have our being. Now, that means he's encompassing us, all around us, all... Yeah, all the time. Yet sometimes we feel so alone,
amen,
so left out, so depressed, that we want to give in. I had someone this week who was totally hurting. I don't want to live anymore. I said, well, you have a problem. Because God's not going to be less present to you if you're dead or alive in the flesh. He's going to be more alive to you when you're not in that physical body. Why?
Because you're being his presence.
Because he is ever present. In the midst of darkness, in the midst of light, he is ever present. Always with us. Always around us. His coordinates don't change. Okay. I know I've shared this before, but I'm about to share something that was, let's say, quite dramatic. Years back, I had been counseling with a young person, and they were very much in the emotions. And we got a phone call in the middle of the night, and the threat from this person was, I'm going to kill myself, I'm going to jump over this bridge, and I'm going to land in the river, and you'll have to have my funeral in a few days. So, what do you think my response was?
Okay, go ahead.
That's exactly what I said. Go ahead. I said, but you're going to have a problem, because on your way down, you're going to find that God's angels are going to be all around you. And they're already around you right now. But you don't understand. If I kill myself, you're going to have to pay a price. And I said, no, I won't. You will be paying a price. Okay? Because, see, the spirit of depression and suicide showed up when Jesus was around. He didn't panic. He cast the demon out and kept the person. So we had a little argument, this person and I. And I said, just remember, those angels are on the job, and they're going to do their job whether you like it or not. You don't love me! I said, well, if you have that opinion, I'll respect it, but that doesn't mean it's truth. I said, but you're going to have a problem. God's got his angels right on the job. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. And hung up. My wife was next to me, and she gave out a yell. Do you know which bridge she's on? I said, nope. You should call 911. I said, nope. Either you believe those angels are on the job, or you just disagree with me. Well, you realize what you've just done. I said, yes, I've stood on God's promise. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14. God's angels are all around. Whether you like it or not, they are on the job. And I said, now your job is to go to sleep. So is mine, because we've got a day tomorrow. The next morning, she said, it took me hours to fall asleep. So what were you doing? She says, I prayed in the spirit. Good. She says, I can't believe you went back to sleep and snored. I said, because God's on the job. 2 hours later, the telephone rings. It's the person. I'm not very happy with you.
I said, oh?
Well, while I was on the phone, she was in a booth. And there was an officer that heard every word that she confessed. And so he picked her up and brought her to jail. And so she had to spend hours at the jail, not in the jail itself, but in the jail quarters. And they called her husband and he went and picked her up. I said, are you going to make up your mind that God's angels are stronger than you? They're smarter than you? They're on the job because God is everywhere? And he's even on your case, whether you like it or not, at the edge of the bridge. Okay, we'll have a talk, she said. Good. I said, I suggest that you have a talk with your Bible first and find out where he is, because he's on the job everywhere you are, whether you're angry with me or not. Well, I want my problems all solved. I said, well, then you have a problem, because they're only going to be dealt with by him, not you. Verse 26. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. This lady lived just a few miles from the bridge. Verse 27. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. He is not far from each one of us. Does that include those that are struggling in circumstances that sometimes you and I would say, that doesn't make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. He even sticks around when I'm not making sense. That's my hope. And I'll cry out to him, Lord, I'm not making any sense right now, but I need your help. James 4:7 says, humble yourself before the Lord. Resist. Yeah, because he showed up. Okay? He showed up. Why? He can't stand your guts. He can't stand your freedom. You know why? Because he's jealous. What else he is? He is fear. Manifested fear. He's everything from the negative realm. And God is everything from the favor and grace that he pours out on each of us as we obey. Because that's what he wants. He wants us to obey, and he gives us the grace to carry it out. In him we live and move and have our being. We are in him. Tell your neighbor, get with it. We are in him. And we're not changing.
We are one.
We are interconnected.
So
if you misbehave, God's Holy Spirit will tattle on you. He might tell me about it. But I will pray for you. Till you get your act together. Because
I might need it too.
Amen?
Amen.
You see, we're not perfect, but we are being perfected. We are being what?
Perfected.
I remember the Lord showed me that we were under construction. Now close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus. Our nation needs a real miracle.
Our nation needs a real miracle.
We've already received quite a few.
Let the protection
of your angelic host
not stop
exposing the darkness.
They're doing a job.
And they're healing.
And there's
release of freedom.
every injured person.
To every injured person.
Emotional.
Emotional.
And physical.
And physical.
Let your plan.
Let your plan.
For the United States of America. And the liberty and freedom you gave us. Be reestablished for your glory.
Be established for your glory.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
On a side note, I'd like to kind of give you something that was kind of cool that I heard for a few moments yesterday. They were showing in one incredible Bible. If I remember correctly, it was commissioned by Congress in the 1700s. And there's only 22 left throughout our nation. That particular Bible was commissioned to be printed by the U.S. Congress for the first schools in America. It was commissioned that every single school in the nation would have a Bible, and that the people would be taught from the time they were young to read the Word of God. Until it was illegal. Now, the revolution that we had in America was done because of God's anointing coming upon His people quite a few years before. And they had a new song. We have no king but Jesus. So they revolted against an unjust king that was across the ocean. And they set up a country that would be free to worship the Lord God Most High, the one that is everywhere in this nation. Do you think He gave up on us? Absolutely not. I believe that we had a survival of the past 48 hours because of God's grace. I don't know how many were, let's say, disturbed with the plans that they may have had to disturb our nation, or even today and the next few days. So keep alert and trust the angels that God has on the job to protect us, to keep us free, and to reestablish in our schools the Word of God to every young man and woman, so that they will come up with the knowledge of the Most High God, who is ever present all around us. And not just for today, but for the next generations. That little one who's a year old there, he needs to know the Lord.
Yes, he does.
Amen?
Amen.
So don't give up on a nation. Don't give up on all the sad commentaries. Look to the Lord and declare He's going to reestablish this nation from what its original concepts were, and even better and greater.
Yes.
For the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of
our God.
God bless you, and may you enjoy that freedom and have a great, great day. Thank you. God's joy to you. Gail, how do you feel?
Pretty darn good.
She got right up and sucked it.